Folks, good morning, folks. Welcome to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM, Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in this morning. Oh, it's always a pleasure. I've got a treat across the way for me. It's a chance to get these dulcet tones back on the radio that are no longer there. You know, for a young man, you probably have worked 15 to 20 years in radio, haven't you?
I started back in sixth grade. Yeah.
You started at age 11.
I was in elementary school.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show. And I've got to turn your microphone down because you're so good at it. Nobody else is that good at getting close and talking how they're supposed to in a microphone.
I guess I had some good training. And, Bruce, a lot of that was a credit to...
Here it comes.
My man, Stan David.
Your man, Stan David.
God rest his soul. Man, I love Stan to death. He kind of showed me the ropes along the way, too, along with some others. But now I come to Fairfield. It's cool.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jeffrey Drake is the public relations and marketing coordinator for Rides Mass Transit. Gets out of radio and finally gets a paycheck. That's really cool for you, Jeffrey. I'm all for that.
I can handle that, yeah.
We're going to talk about all kinds of different things today. We're going to talk about Rides Mass Transit mainly, but I'm going to hold that off for a little bit. Because I hadn't, when I had you here last time, I didn't really take the opportunity to, and I didn't really think about it until this morning. one of the great unexplained and misunderstood basketball games in the history of Illinois was the Harrisburg versus Seton Hall Academy?
Seton Academy, yes.
Seton Academy game in
2013.
You were still doing games at that point.
Right. I was seated on press roll, the basket.
On the sideline.
Right behind the Seton Academy cheerleaders.
Okay, so you're on the baseline.
I'm on the baseline, yes.
All right. You've got to give, I've got you here for an hour, so I'm gonna
sure.
Bug you about this. You're going to have to give me a rundown of what exactly happened during that game. I was watching it on television. Great game, by the way. Congratulations to the Harrisburg folks for winning the state championship. I know that a lot of folks down there are probably still very happy about that, right?
Yeah, and you know how...
Well, everybody's out of school now, though, aren't they? Was Salisbury on that team?
Oh, no. No, he was...
He's just a junior.
Yeah. So the Tyler Smith Peters, of course, is a redshirt senior now at Southern. Cable Henshaw is up at Lewis University.
He played at Illinois this year.
Absolutely. I think they played a preseason game, maybe at Bradley, too. But Dakota Upchurch, the center, he plays football at Southern.
So, oh, does he?
Yes, he was a senior there. Redshirt junior, I guess he would have been this year. But, yeah, it kind of spoiled the taste and soured the taste, I think, with all the controversy that ensued, I guess, afterwards.
Well, the whole Randy Smith Peters issues and that kind of thing. Did it put a kind of a damper on the celebration of winning the state tournament?
When they got back to Harrisburg and had a celebration on the Sunday, it didn't. I think afterwards, maybe some outside noise kind of, you know, would bring it down a little bit. But it's still, you know, not tainted in my mind or probably in a lot of people in Harrisburg's mind. When we were doing the game, you know, the Weems kid, who was the player from Seton who got ejected.
Where's he playing now?
One of their players went to Minnesota to follow Tubby Smith, who, of course, is no longer there.
They had two or three Division I kids on that
Weems
team.
Weems went to Illinois Springfield, and ironically, I think, is a teammate of Bahari Amaya, who was on
team
for Harrisburg. Amaya tore his ACL this year, so he's out for UIS. But
he graduated 2 years ago. He was a sophomore on that team?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So it's funny how it works out when he goes to college and it's the same place the kid that got kicked out for Seton. Really changed the game. Harrisburg only lost one time that year, and that was at Dyer County, Tennessee, to a Dyer County team. It finished 33-1.
And that was a close game.
Harrisburg was behind most of the game. Ended up winning 50-44, something like that. But when it happens, I guess this is after the fact, they meet with the coaches at halftime. The executives from the high school association.
Now you're talking back about state. I was talking about the Dyer County thing.
Yeah, Dyer County game. Harrisburg fell behind. I think Tom Izzo was at that game because Dyer had a couple of players. And then there was a prep school from Vegas that was playing before that, too.
So, okay. All right. State tournament. Mm-hmm. Peoria. Everybody's having fun. State championship game. You played on. Who'd you beat on Friday?
Beat St. Joe Ogden in a very close game. And of course, you see Seton.
And St. Joe has since won the state tournament.
Yeah, they're very good every year in a lot of different things. But you get through that game, and then Harrisburg knew they were an underdog going into that championship game. I don't think I really had a realistic expectation that they would win that game. Somehow it turned out that way. They're kind of back and forth throughout the entire game.
Who did Seton beat to get there?
I want to say it was Winnebago, and I don't think Winnebago had lost.
And that was not very close, as I recall.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah. So going into Saturday night's game.
And another thing about that, Tyler Smith-Peters had injured his ankle in the semifinal game.
In the semi, not the super. It was the semi.
He had injured in the postseason, but the thought was, well, how much is he going to be able to be a factor? But yeah. He played.
Yeah. Yes, he did. He did Tyler Smith-Peters things in that ball game. All right. So the game's going, right? And it's tight. It is, and it's really tense, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, thinking back to it, and I've listened to the end of it, and Harrisburg finally pulled ahead in the fourth quarter. And, you know, with about 12 seconds to go, Seton was down a couple of possessions. They missed a couple of shots. And it's that opportunity where
this is really
going to happen.
Yeah.
And it does. But the thing I remember about it is afterwards they do the – quick wrap-up ceremony thing, and then they really just shut out the lights in the Civic Center and tell everybody you've got to leave.
Do you know how much – you were probably still on the air, weren't you, at that
point? Sure, yeah, and I, of course, didn't get a chance, I don't think, to talk to Randy Smith-Peters afterwards because he had the obligations with the state.
With the media.
I did catch up with him at the hotel, and Seton and Harrisburg were staying at the same hotel on the same floor, actually, which also probably a little bit tense of a situation. But really, you didn't know anything about it, and I didn't know a ton about it until I had met with Randy afterwards at the hotel and kind of got some post-game comments from him that all that had really gone on. As an outsider, I don't think you knew.
During the game at the time, apparently, the Seton folks thought that the Harrisburg players had used racial slurs.
That came out afterwards, I think. Yeah, that was.
But you never heard much of
those. Those were some accusations afterwards.
Some accusations afterward, but were those accusations made during the game? And what was the halftime meeting about?
I think things got a little chippy between the two schools.
Yeah,
that was,
Weems got kicked out in the second quarter,
and that kind of changed the
Upchurch got a technical, right?
Correct.
I'm trying to remember why Weems got kicked out. Did he push Smith-Peters?
I think
was that
he
what
and Smith-Peters got tangled up, yeah.
All right. Was that on your end or was that on the end?
It was on my end. Yeah, I believe so.
Did you have a good view of that?
Things happen so fast.
Oh, listen to him. Come on. Yeah. Did he shove him or not? That's all I'm wanting to know. Come on, Jeffrey.
I couldn't tell you. It did happen fast. The whole thing happened fast. The post-game is a blur.
Actually, I got to tell you, watching it on TV, they had several different angles of it. And, yeah, he shoved him, but no, it wasn't a big shove. So, I mean, it was, and you've seen it, I'm assuming, several times since then.
I've not watched the video. I never have. I've listened to my broadcast.
Have you never watched the video? Wow. Okay. It seems like it was one of those shoves that may or may not be, it's a judgment call of an official, whether it merits technical foul and ejection. It probably certainly merited a technical foul for it to be an ejection. It wasn't second tee against Weems, was it? Or did he pick up two? I'm trying to remember that.
He got ejected, so I don't know if it was. I think he might have made contact with an official after he got
that
the technical.
That might have been it.
Is what happened.
That might have been it.
Ejected him.
He was such a good player, wasn't he?
Absolutely, yeah. That changed the whole game. Harrisburg was able to pull what I think people would consider an upset. But, you know, that's a once-in-a-lifetime team at Harrisburg. Same thing with their 2000 football team, which is actually when I started keeping stats. And one of the first things I remember when they went unbeaten and won the 3A championship.
You were keeping stats getting on the air. That was when you started getting on the air.
My dad was still doing the games. Yeah, but
Wyatt Drake, your father.
Able to help out around and kind of follow them around. I know in the postseason they played at Robinson, they played Mount Carmel, I think they played Wheaton St. Francis and beat Oregon in the championship game, and I mean, none of their games were close, save for the opening week of the season against Mount Carmel. Then fortunate enough in 2003 to be up at Lanphier Park in Springfield helping out with the baseball coverage because we did all the Harrisburg baseball games at that point and got upset in the state championship game against Wilmington.
Was that a pitching issue?
It was. I tell you who was on that Wilmington team is Tanner Roark, who's with the Washington Nationals.
Really?
Yes. So Roark went to Illinois, and he was on the 04 team. And Harrisburg turned around and beat Wilmington in the semis in 04 and then won the championship in 04 in baseball against Quincy Notre Dame. But Roark was on that team. He's on both teams. He had, I think, a brother, too. Goes to Illinois, drops out gets picked up by the Southern Illinois Miners, plays independent baseball in Marion, but now is a spot starter and quality pitcher for the Nationals.
Yeah. I'm guessing Tanner Roark is under a pretty healthy contract,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, he was a Wilmington Wildcat against Harrisburg in played a couple of baseball
games. That's pretty cool. Yeah. See, that would have been while you were probably in high school, right?
I was, because graduating eighth grade and heading into my freshman year, I was a freshman in 04 when they won it. It's cool to be able to broadcast a football championship,
I'm still waiting.
Baseball, and then a basketball. That's stuff that, you know, they can't take away from you. It's pretty special.
Well, that is outstanding. I hadn't had an opportunity to ask you about the Harrisburg State tournament, and I know a lot of our fans are watch that thing. They watch the class 2A religiously, 1A and 2A, but mainly 2A because that's what Fairfield is,
sure.
And Edwards County is now. We'll talk a little bit more. We're going to talk Rides Mass Transit sometime, if that's all right.
Sure.
All right. I've got Jeffrey Drake here on the show. We're going to talk a little bit more. I'll probably make him talk some sports, too. Back in just a little bit on the Bruce Dickey Show, AM and FM, Fairfield.
Inside my car, I got pictures, got candy, I'm a lovable man, and I can take you to the nearest star. I'm your vehicle, baby, I'll take you anywhere you wanna go. I'm your vehicle, woman, by now I'm sure you know that I love you, have you, need you, need you. I want you, got to have your child. Great God in heaven, you know I love.
Got to play one for the missus because she probably plays this in a loud Benton band, doesn't she?
Good music.
That's right. That's right. Joined here by Jeffrey Drake on the Bruce Dickey Show as we're talking about, we've been talking sports. We're going to talk a little bit more sports eventually. We'll talk about his thoughts. He watches a lot of high school basketball, and we might get his predictions on who's going to come out of the South.
I saw McIlravy. Of course, he's another one of my favorites. I saw him at the Holiday Tournament. First time I'd seen him since, of course, the Cubs. I know he's a big Cub fan.
Big Cub fan.
Since he won the World Series, and he was pretty pumped up about that.
Yeah. You've probably run into a lot of Cub fans pretty pumped up about that. Let's talk about Rides Mass Transit. Then I'll get away from it. You guys... Tell me what's new at Rides Mass Transit. It's been probably about a year since you were here.
It has been. Rides is the largest public rural transit provider in Illinois, in about 17 or 18 counties.
Have you added any since the last time you were here?
Have not. The latest additions were Clark and Edgar County in 2013, so not since I've been here the last time.
Seemed like you were expanding in those counties. You were expanding some of the services, right?
Absolutely. And out of Cumberland County, we have regular routes into Mattoon. How mass transit districts work in Illinois is as long as a route starts or ends within your district, you're able to make that run. That's how we're able to have a bus from Fairfield go into Evansville or something like that, go into Coles County into Mattoon or go to St. Louis. Or a good example here, there's a lot of people from Wayne County, Hamilton County that work at the Continental Tire in Mount Vernon, and we take a lot of people for employment routes too.
Is that route that one in particular? Does that go? Do you have two different routes, two different buses handling that, or you have just one bus going to Fairfield as well as one bus going to Hamilton County?
Yeah, it kind of depends. And there's morning and then there's evening pickups too. I know they go through Wayne City. They go through McLeansboro.
Well, they park at the Southern Wholesale.
Right.
Yeah.
The kind of a park and ride. Exactly. So it's economical for the people, and it's a good thing for employers too, because this is what I've found going to different meetings across all of southeastern, east central Illinois is a lot of barriers for people trying to get employment is reliable transportation. A person who's out of work might not have the money for a car or gas or insurance.
Right.
So if we can kind of ease that and help a person get a job, maintain a job, help the employer kind of be that middle person to get them to work, that's a good thing.
How does a route get set up? What's the procedure of that, Jeffrey?
All the supervisors are it's a constant moving target. You know, we just don't sit it and forget it. We keep going back and seeing if there is a need, if things are being run efficiently.
How many buses running? Well, I'll get back to that question. Now that, since you're talking about it, how many buses you got running? And how
there
many,
are about 100.
Like how many miles a day are run by Rides Mass Transit? Let me guess first.
Okay.
I'm going to guess that your buses do about 5,000, 6,000 miles a day.
3.7 million miles a year.
Woo-hoo!
Throughout our district, yeah.
Do the math. That's, what, 10,000 miles a day?
I'm not a math major, but that's why I was in radio for a little bit.
That's a little over 10,000 miles a day.
But we transported just shy of 700,000 people last year throughout all of our counties. And that's a big number. And we're talking about the fleet. There's about 150 buses throughout all of our counties. And Fairfield's got a main operations center.
Mm-hmm.
And Kyle's our supervisor here, and he does a really good job. And Rachel, one of our dispatchers. And all the drivers are very friendly. The cool thing about Rides is we're able to provide door-to-door service. I think a lot of people think of Rides as transportation maybe for senior citizens.
Right.
It is that, but it's
folks think that you pick up the elderly folks like at the nursing homes and
exactly.
Take them to Walmart or take them out to the shopping center.
We do that, but it's taking people to work. It's taking people to Frontier, to
right.
College. It's
right.
Taking people on medical appointments. But it's door-to-door service. So if a person needs assistance getting from their steps of the residence onto the bus, and all the buses are ADA accessible, so they've got a lift. If a person's in a wheelchair, walking, or just unsteady on their feet, we're able to assist. Our drivers are trained in that. Plus, they'll help if the person goes shopping and has groceries. We'll help them load them on the bus and then drop them off at their doorstep.
Well, and all for like $5 a ride, I guess, right?
$2 one way. But if a person, and here's a good thing, if a person's 60 or over, in most of our counties, they can qualify. And this is a good thing when we partner with a lot of our local senior centers. And Wanda, the director here in Fairfield's a good one to partner with. Person 60 or over, they qualify for a Rides ID card. Now, it doesn't cost a person anything. They can ride on a regular route at no cost. So if I call in the morning and there's a bus in Fairfield running pretty much most of the day, Monday through Friday,
mm-hmm.
I can hop on one of those buses. They can take me, and if I'm 60 or over, it's not going to cost me anything to ride.
Tell me that again. Okay. So say I'm an elderly person in Fairfield. And
you're not 60, so you still got some time. But
I'm hypothetical here. We're going to talk about hypothetical. I feel 60.
Yeah. When you turn 60.
When I turn 60.
You can sign up for a Rides ID card.
Okay.
And that would be something that doesn't cost you anything.
I'm sitting at home. All right. I'm sitting at home, and I'm eating my Cheerios. And I realize I've run out of milk.
Huh?
I need to go to the store. Do you call? You don't. This isn't like a taxi service or Uber or anything, is it?
Correct. Yeah, it's public transportation. So we might not be there in the next 5 minutes. Within the hour, we should be able to pick you up. And all you have to do is call our dispatch office at 847-4077. So a person, if their car won't start, if they just don't want to get out and drive, maybe if it's a little cold or snowy outside, you can call the bus and we can take people.
See, that's the thing. I think, Jeffrey, that folks don't realize is they think that there are set routes and there's no way to get onto a bus unless, you know, I've got to go down to the Southern Wholesale and get on the bus there or something like that. That's not the way it is.
No, you don't have to get to a fixed stop. We're door-to-door service, so that's what people will come to the residence and they'll drop them off at the front of the store or at the front of the college, in
mm-hmm.
front of their classes, or at work. That's the cool thing about it. And anybody can ride. So if I'm young, if I'm middle-aged, if I'm not so young, anybody can ride the bus, and that's the cool thing about it, too. And, you know, I run into situations. This is one of the first things when I started at Rides. I was in Lawrenceville and ran into somebody, and she was so thankful because her son had an illness, and he had to take several treatments, you know, constantly. And Rides took this person. And the mom was so thankful because she didn't have to take off work. You know, we take people to medical appointments a lot locally here at the hospital, even regionally in the Mount Vernon,
sure.
Effingham, Evansville. We can take people to those places.
This, you know, we've talked. Whenever you're here last time, you're telling me all this stuff. I just that doesn't make any sense. That doesn't make sense monetarily, but it really does work for you because you're supported. Are you? Is there a cash grant or something?
Yeah,
a state grant?
It's a municipality, so we're not in it to make money. We get federal funding, we get state and local dollars, and then the general cash fare, so a person pays $2. But
yeah.
Again, it's not a money making entity. It's providing the service and getting people there in a safe and timely manner. So, you know, we have a lot of routes that go into St. Louis. We have an office in Paris, and they travel to Champaign quite a bit, so we can connect. And being so big and spread out in 17 counties can be a logistical problem at times, but it's also great with all the resources because maybe there's a bus in Olney that can meet up, and they have people that need to go into Champaign, and they can catch up with some people in Marshall that also have to go there. So it's the possibilities are just endless in how everything's connected.
Well, I was going to ask that. I didn't realize you had routes into St. Louis.
Yes, so we take people to St. Louis quite a bit. Maybe not an existing route, but I would say typically between Marion, Harrisburg, Fairfield, South, there's buses going to St. Louis multiple times a week.
Do they go all the way to the airport, or where do they go?
You could take people to the airport. You take people. A lot of times it would be medical appointments. So another thing we can do, talk about the airport, maybe you don't deliver directly to the airport, but you take people and connect other forms of
mass transit.
Take Metrolink. Amtrak's another great example. We have a regular stop at the Carbondale Amtrak station. Effingham's got another Amtrak station. Mattoon would have an Amtrak. We could connect people there, too.
And you're not in or the Central Area Amtrak, or for that matter, too, right?
Yeah, if you were going that direction, sure.
Wow. You know, it just boggles my mind because you'll see the bus. I guess you see the buses all the time, and I just don't even think about it because I've got a car and my car is running well. But it's a real heck of a service that y'all provided.
Another thing too is maybe you wake up one morning and your car won't start.
Yeah.
So if you need a ride to work,
come pick me up at 5 a.m.?
Well, hopefully you would know your car's not starting the night before. But
actually, you know, I would probably get a hold of Darren Cottle, who lives like a block away and works at Rides Mass Transit, and he'd probably drop me off here.
He could work with that.
Would I have to pay him $2?
Yeah, that would be your regular fare. But I can give you – now, here's what – I'll leave a couple of Bus On Us tickets, Bruce.
Oh, no, you don't have to do
so
that.
So if you ever run into that situation, you can just pass it along.
I hope not. Okay. I interrupted you earlier. I was trying to set up a regular route.
Mm-hmm.
How does one go about it? I know several folks, friends of mine, work up at the Walmart distribution or something like maybe. In Olney.
Right.
And there's like four or five of us. How do we get something like that set up?
It would be a situation where you would probably call our local dispatch office here in town and work with something. Now, it might be a situation if it's one person and it's a new route trying to get it established, that might
be difficult.
Hard to do and not cost effective to do that. But if there's a handful or more that are in a situation like that, absolutely. Because we work with different employers, and sometimes employers maybe want to be hands-off and not get involved with that and kind of leave it up to the employees.
Mm.
But, absolutely. Keep checking back with our dispatch office and our operations centers, and we can work with that. But, if you live in Wayne County, we're going to pick you up. You live in Wayne City or Sisney or wherever, Fairfield, we can get people. And we have regular routes that go into Albion and Mount Carmel. If people need to go North City, Carmi, really, the possibilities are endless, and if we can't get you there, we can transfer you to other forms of mass transit like Amtrak. So if you needed to go to Chicago or Indianapolis or something like that, if you're not getting there directly on a rides bus, we will work with you and get you there the best, most cost-effective way for both sides.
That's just incredible. You're mainly in southeastern Illinois for the most part. Is there a mass transit district on the west of us, like in Jefferson County?
Jefferson County would be South Central Transit. Kind of feeds into Jefferson, Franklin, Marion, Centralia.
Okay, I've seen the SCT.
Correct. Yeah, we're basically what they do, but just in different areas. And we partner with them because we'll transfer people in Marion because Williamson County is part of the Rides District. That's
right.
Probably our busiest district. Part of the district, and we'll transfer people who might be going into Benton or West Frankfort as far as that goes. Another thing would be up in Coles County with Dial-A-Ride. We might have somebody from Toledo in Cumberland County, which
right.
is our district,
right.
go into Mattoon, or somebody from Mattoon or Charleston hops on a rides bus and comes down to go into Effingham or somewhere else where they want to go.
Tell me about the future. I know the last time you were here, you had recently expanded. Are there many underserved counties still in the state of Illinois, or does everyone now have a nice transit district with them? I mean, looking at, I would think that Alexander and those counties down that way may not be served as well.
Yeah, they have a mass transit district as well, with Shawnee Mass Transit down there, okay, in the southern part of the state. But I think the thing with rides is being able to get people there and not tell people no. We want to be able to provide the service. And again, if it's and here's the thing, too, and we brought it up earlier. It's not a taxi, so it's not going to be on demand right there at the next minute. But the next available bus, next available route, we certainly want to make that happen in getting to different places. So it's a good thing. We're always out in the community trying to increase ridership. You know, a lot of it is seniors. A lot of it is developmental workshops, working with places like CDC.
Well, you got CDC,
sure. Those are big things. But, again, it's anybody can ride. I mean, I was in yesterday. I was in Robinson. I rode the bus in Crawford County. And
did you?
Took a lot of people to medical appointments. People go to dialysis. And that's the thing, too. There's usually Saturday routes in Fairfield that take people to dialysis. But that's not to say that if somebody called on Friday and wanted to hop on that route, they would be able to hop on the route the same time the bus is out taking people to dialysis and stop off and go shopping or go to a friend's house or go get something to eat.
What kind of portion do you think of the ridership, of the funding, comes from the transit passes and the $2 per ride and that kind of thing?
That would probably be one of the lower ends numbers. As
I kind of figured it'd have to be.
Yeah.
Tell me about the election day.
Well, yeah, good thing you brought that up. April 4th, seems like we just got through an election cycle. But
we got another one coming, don't we?
The consolidated election, the first Tuesday in April. Uh-huh. The thing Rides has done since the 80s has been provide complimentary transportation to the polls. So that $2 fare, if you're going to vote on Tuesday, April 4th, that goes out the window on an existing route.
And you get a lot of folks use that probably who don't typically take
mass transit. I know in November over 50 people we took to polling places. And then I was up in Oblong on election day. And
what in the world were you doing in Oblong on election
day? There was a TV station from the Terre Haute market that was following us and wanted to do a story on it. And it's a situation where you pick up a lady who has no other means of going to vote. And that, you know, that's a basic American right to be able to do that, and to be able to take people to go vote on those election days is a cool thing. Be able to take people you know, who are going through some terrible illnesses, and, you know, even yesterday a guy with dialysis, and you know it's just painful and gut-wrenching to see people have to go through that, but for us to be able to provide that service and make it as comfortable as possible and as easy as possible, it's really cool and heartwarming.
How do folks get a hold of Rides Mass Transit here in Fairfield or Edwards County or wherever around here?
Yeah, 847-4077 is the local number. We've got a great website, too, that's kind of interactive. It explains some of the different times and the routes and the maps that are on. It's ridesmtd.com. We're also on Facebook, but the local number is 847-4077. Be more than happy to set up rides and routes and explain how things work for people.
Anybody you need to ask for there, or just the dispatcher?
Rachel's great. She's our dispatcher. Kyle's our supervisor. They're local people. So I think that's another thing, too, with rides. When you call, you're talking to local people who are from the area, who kind of know the roads and the maps. Same thing with our drivers there. They're local
people.
So
if you call it and say, hey, look, I'm here at the local Taco Tierra, and I'd like to go to Dairy Queen. You say, well, why don't you walk like a 30 feet?
If a person wants to ride, we're not going to deny them a ride.
I guess that's true. Give me that number again.
847-4077.
I'm talking to Jeffrey Drake here. He's the public relations and marketing coordinator for Rides Mass Transit. We're going to talk probably a little bit more about rides, as well as I'm going to get his thoughts on the current local. We might talk a little basketball. Plus, do you have a dog in the fight in the Super Bowl, Jeffrey?
Not a huge New England fan. You know,
we'll talk about that when we get back. You're listening to the Bruce Dickey Show on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM. Fairfield, back in a bit. Morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIWFM Fairfield, Illinois. Do appreciate you listening in this morning. My guest across the way is Jeffrey Drake. He's the Public Relations and Marketing Director for Rides Mass Transit. So what's next for Rides Mass Transit then? If you haven't, most counties are covered, you're just trying to, just making sure you get do the best service you can in the areas you cover. Huh?
You always want to fine-tune and find some areas who might have been underserved or overlooked, but that's what my goal is, to be out and driving through all these towns and learning Route 1 like the back of my hand now.
I bet you know Route 1 from top
to
bottom.
Like I live in Harrisburg, and when I get to Lawrenceville now after being in Paris, I feel like I'm practically home. I drive to Mount Carmel, to me, when Harrisburg was playing Mount Carmel in Week 1 football, always seemed like forever, but now it's like it's in my backyard. So
wow.
I've been through Albion a lot more now working at Rides than I thought I ever would be in my lifetime, too.
I bet you have gone places that that you probably never expected to ever go.
Well, I've seen all the trademark biggest things in the world in KC with the largest mailbox and rocking chair and golf tee. You should check it out sometime.
I haven't seen that. I need to
it's
see
pretty
that.
Cool.
That does sound pretty cool. I could just hop in a Rides Mass Transit bus and get me up there, couldn't
I? You could. I've been to Palestine. Of course, Rides started about...
I went to Palestine in Hudsonville on Thanksgiving Day for my first time ever.
This year?
Hudsonville for the first time. Okay. I'd been to Palestine. I'd called a games in Palestine. I'd never been to Hudsonville before.
The Palestine Pioneers, I believe.
The Pioneers, that's right.
But this is actually the... 2017 will be the 40th anniversary for Rides. It started in Hardin County back in 1977, so that'll be a big thing for Rides. We're kind of working and revamping our logo and trying to get a little bit of a new look, more modern.
Well, that's wonderful. Okay, tell me about this year. You still keep your hand in reporting as well as keep a toe in the water, don't you? Reporting and observing Illinois high school basketball, don't you?
We ran in the same circles around Christmas time at El Dorado, and then
saw you every day.
A couple weeks after that, I saw you down in Gallatin County for a Wayne City basketball game.
Who's the class of Class 1A in Southern Illinois?
Gallatin County has not lost to a 1A school. I think they're 15-5. They're in their GEC tournament this week, so they could probably play Crab Orchard Saturday night for a championship if things play out right. But Gallatin's lost 5 games. 2 of them are to El Dorado, close.
Yeah.
2 of them are to Carmi, and the other one was Edwards County up at the Grayville tournament.
You were there when they beat Wayne City.
Correct, yeah.
And I was there when they beat Wayne City.
That was a game when
that was a tight game.
Ramsey had, 19 points in the fourth quarter or something
he
like
had,
that?
He went 19 for 20 from the free throw line. And he had 17 in the fourth quarter, ended up like 29 points in the game.
Gallatin's, they're not bad.
Gallatin's pretty tough. Who else? What do you think about Wayne City?
They were good. Yeah, they were good.
Good senior-led team, well, for the most part. I think they were missing a kid that night, too.
Harrisburg played Meridian earlier in the season. Meridian's schedule is just brutal.
Meridian going to be 1A?
Yeah, they'll be 1A.
Okay.
I mean, they might have a record that's not great, but they'll be decent. I think Gorville, of course, is good.
I'm just kind of trying to think who's going to come out.
Woodlawn's a little down this year.
Yeah, see, now that's what kind of sets the 1A a little bit off for me this year, in that you can't look west of here and just expect the Goliath of Woodlawn.
I think their underclass is pretty decent, though. Might take a year or two, but I think they're going to be good again.
Class 2A, who do you see as the cream of the crop? It's got to be Mount Carmel, doesn't it?
Yeah, Mount Carmel. Of course, El Dorado won at Mount Carmel, which surprised me. El Dorado's lost a couple games to Marion and Fairfield.
Yeah.
You know, Edwards County's got a good
record. Were you surprised by the Marion
loss? Not really. That was at West Frankfort last weekend. Marion had a 12 or 14-point lead. El Dorado came back. El Dorado's won a lot of close games, too. I think they'll host a regional that will feed into the sectional at Frankfort, but you would have a Mount Carmel and a T-Town possibly coming this direction for the sectional, so it might be a difficult sectional for somebody to get out of.
The thing that you see, more than where you are, living in Harrisburg, and playing in the Mississippi or the Ohio River to River, either one, you see some 3A teams that we don't get to see. Benton's
pretty good. Benton's in a tough spot. They picked a terrible year to have to bump up to 3A, because if they were 2A, they would probably be, a one of the favorites.
And we'll find out pretty soon, aren't they playing Tutopolis and their
shootout next Saturday. Yeah. So I think Harrisburg plays Gorville that afternoon. But yeah.
Edwards County plays a team out of Kentucky, Marshall County, Kentucky, that day.
They play Marshall.
Yeah.
Wow. Marshall's always good.
Is that right?
Because yeah.
consider myself warned. I'm not going to that, but that ought to be a good one. Huh?
The Benton coach Ron Weinmiller was an assistant at Marshall County before he came back to Benton. Of course, he's from McLeansboro originally.
Yeah,
a lot of coaches from McLeansboro.
You know, you cannot swing a dead cat without hitting a coach from McLeansboro who has ties to McLeansboro.
Doug Miller, the Gallatin County coach. From, of course, Randy Smith-Peters.
Then you can look at Brad Lee.
Right.
He's not head coaching anymore, but he's coaching at Carmi still.
Darren Lee up at Collinsville, who had a great run at Nashville. It's interesting. I saw Kurt Reed. He comes to several Harrisburg games to talk to Randy.
Will Benton have a chance to get out of Southern Illinois?
They host their sectional. I don't know if they can get to their sectional, though. That'll be tough. Yeah,
they're
going to
be running with Marion and Carbondale, aren't they, for the most part?
Carbondale's – I mean, it's just a different level. It's just like in some years the difference between 1A and 2A is even more so a discrepancy between 2A. Because Harrisburg was 3A last year, and they played Murfreesboro in the semifinals in a regional, and was competitive in that game, but – you know that
it's different.
A conference school too.
It's different in because also, I mean, Harrisburg plays probably of the 28 games they're going to play on the season. They're probably going to play maybe 3 or 4 or 5 Class 1A teams, probably 3 or 4 or 5 Class 3A teams, and 15 to 20 Class 2A teams. So it kind of depends who you play when you have to step up into that.
And their enrollment's around 550, and there's a big difference between, you know, mid fives to 1300 or whatever 3A would go to, and that's where you feel for the Bentons and, you know, Massacs and Alneys and years past too having to.
I think Alneys back into 3 now. Yeah. You
have no chance in the postseason.
No. What do you? Since we got a couple minutes left here, what are you seeing in the Super Bowl next week?
Probably a lot.
Who do I need to bet on?
Probably a lot of points. I would probably take the over.
Take the over.
Yeah.
What is it? 57.
I haven't seen a line.
It's 57. 57, 57.
You already get in on that one?
I've heard about it. Let's rephrase that. I've heard about that. These things.
It's interesting. Of course, I remember Atlanta when they were in the Super Bowl last time in 98 with the Dirty Bird and Jamal Anderson and Chris Chandler and everything. So that's good that they're kind of back. And you kind of get
I'm glad that you remember that, by the way. Because that was 1998, and you would have been
I was 10.
7 years old.
I was 10. But then I remember because they beat Minnesota in the NFC Championship game when Gary Anderson had a terrible game. Minnesota was like 15-1
Minnesota
that
had a great year.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think Jeff George was on that team.
He was a quarterback,
I think he was hurt by then, and they were using Gannon.
Gus Frerotte, maybe?
It wasn't Frerotte.
I didn't know if Gannon was in minutes because Gannon took Oakland to the Super Bowl not long after that.
The
they lost
year,
Tampa Bay.
Like,
yeah,
2 years
of course,
later.
You know, Denny Green has recently passed away. It's amazing how some of these
How your Colorado Rockies going to do this?
They signed Greg Holland yesterday.
Ladies and gentlemen, you should have seen his eyes light up when I mentioned the Colorado Rockies.
I got kind of excited when they signed Ian Desmond. I could tell you where I was when I found out that. I was in Mount Carmel.
See, now that's a big signing.
And then
Ian Desmond's a stud.
And I guess he's going to play first base. Their lineup is stacked. They got a decent bullpen now. That if Greg Holland can come back and be kind of healthy.
He's coaching now.
Bud Black is their new manager.
Oh, okay.
He's at the Padres.
He's been through the wars once or twice.
I'm optimistic. You know, they're going to have to get through L.A.
Gotta
and San Francisco.
Giants, Giants and Dodgers.
You know, with their lineup, Desmond at first, LeMahieu's an all-star at second. Story had a great rookie year at short. Arenado got Cargo in the outfield.
Arenado is world-class at third
Blackman
base.
Blackman in center field. And then they got a young player. I think he'll still qualify as a rookie. David Dahl will be their left fielder.
Yeah.
He'll be a stud. That'd be a fantasy pickup.
Thanks for the tip. Right. You could have given me that off the air because I have some of the other team, the other players on listening too.
I'll fill you in.
Do my Cardinals have a chance against the world champs this year?
Yeah. Dexter Fowler was a former Rocky. He was okay.
Oh, yeah. He was okay with the Rockies. He was pretty good with the Cubs.
Compared to what they could have paid Hayward, and that's probably a decent deal with what they got.
You didn't answer the question.
The thing I don't get about the Cardinals is why some people are just so tough on Matheny. The guy wins every year. I would just, I'd give them.
Do you watch the
games? I would take that. I would take what they have for sure as a Rockies fan.
It's you really want to know why people get so tough on Matheny? It's because they want speed. They want Whitey ball that doesn't exist in 2015. Folks want bunting. And they want base stealing, and it ain't happening.
Tell you what, you get spoiled too. You get
that's true.
Really spoiled, and that's the thing with Harrisburg basketball this year is a little bit down. They're a couple games under 500, but you can't win 20 games every year. It's hard to do, and it's hard to win 80 or 85, 90 games every year in baseball.
You got like 15 seconds left, and you're still shirking the question: can my Cubs or my Cardinals catch the Cubs?
I think so. It'll be competitive.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, Bruce.
That's Jeffrey Drake. That's the Bruce Dickey Show for today, folks. Have a great day. Talk to y'all tomorrow.